Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. The Lord is soon to come. Wickedness and rebellion, violence and crime are filling the world. The cries of the suffering and oppressed rise to him for justice. In the place of being softened by the patience and forbearance of God, the wicked are growing stronger in stubborn rebellion. The time in which we live is one of marked depravity. Religious restraint is thrown off, and men reject the law of God. A more than common contempt is placed upon his holy law. A moment of respite has been graciously given us of God. Every power lent us of heaven is to be used in doing the work assigned us by the Lord for those who are perishing in ignorance. The warning message is to be sounded in all parts of the world. There must be no delay. The truth must be proclaimed in the dark places of the earth. Obstacles must be met and surmounted. A great work is to be done, and this work is entrusted to those who know the truth for this time. Now is the time to lay hold of the arm of our strength. The prayer of David should be the prayer of pastors and laymen. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Let the servants of God weep between the porch and the altar, crying, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy inheritance to reproach. God has always wrought in behalf of his truth. The designs of wicked men, the enemies of the church, are subject to his power and overruling providence. He can move upon the hearts of statesmen the wrath of haters of his truth, and his people can be turned aside, even as the waters of rivers can be turned, if thus he ordered it. Prayers move the arm of omnipotence. He who marshals the stars in order in the heavens, whose words control the waves of the deep, is the same infinite creator who will work in the behalf of his people. If they will call upon him in faith, he will restrain all the forces of the darkness until the warning is given to the world, and all who will heed it are prepared for his coming.
We are living in perilous times. We can see the signs being fulfilled on every side of us. And Father, we have not seen these signs. It's because we don't know who you are and what is written in your word about the end time. But Father, we pray that those who are seeing the signs, that we now and more than ever before we search our lives and be ready to give a word to every man that asks us for the reason. That when all is said and done, Father, we pray that we be on your side. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome all of our listening audience this afternoon. And once again, our show this afternoon is going to take the format as a different format than usual as we prepare for our live call-in show that is May 8, 2006, which is the day after the Ten Commandments Day. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to contact us at 322-6273. We have persons manning the phone right now, so you can call in. And any questions or comments that you have, you can give us a call. Our P.O. Box number is N8993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. And most of you, I'm sure, are aware now that we have a web page, so you could get some of the sermons and some of the topics that we discuss here at www.tpministries.org. And if you happen to be away from the Bahamas and you still want to listen to the program, you can do that at www.znsbahamas.com. So since we don't have Marlene in the studio this afternoon, we're going to just say welcome to Brother Paul. Good afternoon, Brother Paul.
Good afternoon, Brother Junior. Good afternoon, Bahamas.
Brother Paul, would you like to give us a little update in terms of what we have covered so far coming up to this Ten Commandments Day?
Yes, thank you very much, Brother Junior. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are happy to be coming into your homes today, sharing with you more spiritual information that will help you and your family be prepared for our soon returning King, which is Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been watching the news and reading the newspaper, there are so many things happening in this little country of ours. You know, it hurts my heart when ministers of the gospel are taken before the court for whatever reason may be. Maybe guilty or not guilty. I'm not concerned about that. But ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, when Christian people are taken before the court or things happen to them in a negative way, it sends a very strong blow towards the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we are the one that is supposed to be sharing the light. And that's why more than ever before, we need to be on our guards. To guard all the avenues of our soul. Listen to the still small voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And flee all appearances of evil. Remember, because even prophets of old find themselves in other situations and compromising positions. And they paid an ultimate price for it. So nothing has changed, ladies and gentlemen. So now is the time for us to pray for the church. That those who are in the leadership position will hold the fort. Because what God has called them for, And it's time be no more, Father, ladies and gentlemen. Help us to be on the right side, and that's the side of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Brother Paul, as we prepare for our May 8th live call-in show on ZNS at 9 o'clock?
8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock, where would be a good place to start to show the importance of the Ten Commandments?
A good place for us to start, ladies and gentlemen, and Brother Julian, is go into our Bibles. So today we're going to invite you to pick up your Bibles. Go with us through the Scriptures. And our first Scripture is John chapter 14, verses 15. Or maybe you might have a notepad. Please write the Scriptures down so you can study them truth for yourself. John 14, 15 says, "If you love me, says Jesus, keep my commandments." And surely, ladies and gentlemen, we can see based on all the chaos, people don't love the commandments of God anymore. And this is the reason why there's chaos all around us. Jesus puts it this way when he impressed upon the heart of his prophet in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "My son or my daughters, forget not my law, and keep my commandments, says the Lord, for length of days and long life and peace shall lay out unto thee." So everyone wants long life and peace, but it doesn't come outside of the principles of God's word. The commandments are very important, and we've been saying now for going on to 4 years now, the commandments, it only points out sin. Jesus Christ empower you and I to live the victory over sin. And that's the only way it can be done. So don't you even try to do it any other way. Because if you do, you'll be most miserable this side of heaven.
So, Brother Paul, how would we know that Christ is living out the commandments through us and in us?
Once again, we must go to the Bible. The text here again comes from 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. And it says, "Whosoever that Jesus Christ is born of God, everyone," let me repeat that, "whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is the Christ born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that is begotten, loveth him also that he is begotten of him. By this we know that we are loved and the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the commandment, for this is the love of God," says 1 John 5 verse 3. "For this is truly the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." In other words, the commandments don't bring pain and suffering. It's the outright breaking of the commandments which bring pain and suffering. A lot of people think that when you keep the commandments, you are in bondage. But how can you be in bondage when God said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery"? How can you be in bondage when God said, "Thou shalt not steal"? It's when you steal, when you commit adultery. And when you do these other principles of breaking the commandments, then you are in bondage. Because remember, Christ delivered us from bondage through his Son. And today, you and I can be set free if you can totally remain in Jesus Christ today.
What are some of the evidence, because you know, we're always looking for proof and evidence, that we are children of God and we are doing what he says?
1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says, "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith which is rooted in the word of God. And whosoever is over, and who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So if you and I truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if you and I truly believe that we are born of God, the Bible says you and I should overcome the world. And how do you know that we are overcoming the world? Once we follow the principles that are written in God's word.
If and when we see Christians today showing worldly traits, can they truly say that they're born again?
No, they are not. The Bible is quite clear. The Christians are showing worldly traits. They are not born of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17 puts it this way. "Love not the world, Christians, neither things that are in the world, Christians. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So the Bible is quite clear. If you love the flesh, if you love the eye or the pride of life, you are not of the Father, but of the world. You are of the other father called the devil, who is a liar from the beginning, according to John chapter 8.
But when we talk to most Christians today, they give us the idea that when Jesus left, the law was done away with. Is this true?
No, it is not. As a matter of fact, all the way in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah said this is what Jesus will do when he walk upon the earth. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 21. Listen to these words carefully, and then you put these words to the test. "The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law. He will make it honorable. The law, and he will make the law honorable." Did our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ make it honorable, ladies and gentlemen? The record will reflect. If you should only search the New Testament scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and beyond, we have said God did do what the prophet Isaiah said he would do when he walked among men.
You used the word magnify, Brother Paul. What did you mean by magnify the law?
In other words, Brother Julian, to magnify means he blowed it up. He expanded upon it. He amplified it. He increased it. He enlarged it. He expanded upon it. He broadened it, and he also widened it and extended it beyond all measures and adding nothing to it. And he also amplified it. So the Bible is quite clear that based on when Christ walked upon the earth, He did all of the things that was just mentioned, and today no one on earth can say he did not do otherwise.
Did Jesus magnify the Lord when he was here?
Yes, he did. And he said the only way he was able to do it, he said, none of these things I do of myself, ladies and gentlemen, or brothers and sisters. I do all these things of my Heavenly Father. And this is the only way you and I can do it. If you and I are totally rooted and grounded in our Heavenly Father, which is Jesus Christ. And he also said that you and I can be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature don't prompt you to sin, ladies and gentlemen, because where sin is, the divine nature will not be a part of that. Because if the divine nature is involved in you when you are committing a sin, that means Jesus Christ himself is also guilty of committing sin. But we know wherever sin is, our God is a consuming fire. And we know at the end of time, if you and I continue to hold on to any sin, hate, envy, lying, lust, breaking the Sabbath day, whatever sin it might be, surely we'll be a part of that fire at the end of time. Let it not be said of us when time should be no more.
In Jesus' day, did anybody try to accuse Jesus of sinning? And did they find any?
Yes, they did. And based on the Bible records again, they didn't find any. You'll read this in John chapter 8, verse 45 to 47. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. And that is a problem. We tell people the truth, they don't want to believe us, as if it's our truth. Remember, Jesus says in his word, John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth. And thy word is truth. The text continues in verse 46 of John 8. Which of you convicts me of sin, said Jesus? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth my word, says Jesus. And ye hear not them, because ye are not of God. See, there's no middle ground. Either you're going to believe the word of God, or you're going to believe the word of the devil himself, who is a liar from the beginning. Luke 23, verses 4, when Jesus went before Pilate. Pilate said to the chief priests and the people of that day, I find no fault with this man. And the same thing is said today. People want to find fault with the word of God. They even sometimes want to find fault with Jesus and say, Jesus break the Sabbath day. But think about it. If Jesus break the Sabbath day in his work here on earth, that means Jesus has sinned. And you know what that means? You and I need a new Savior. But praise God, he did not. Because he rose from the grave, but now he sits on the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I.
Jesus said that the commandments was brought, like we mentioned earlier. Did any of the prophets also made reference to this too, that those commandments were brought?
Yes, the prophet David talked about this in Psalms 119, verse 96-99. Listen to what David said. I have seen the end of all perfection, said David, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day, said David. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, and they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for thy testimony are my meditation. Isn't that good news? David said he began to meditate upon the word of God. As he began to meditate upon the commandments of God, he was more wiser than his teachers. And he was meditating upon the commandments how much time? All of his days. And last but not least, he said he was also wiser than his enemies. Don't you want to be wiser than your enemies today? Don't you want to be more wiser than the earthly teachers of today? Let Jesus Christ himself be the teacher of all teachers as he teach you and your family today.
Are there any benefits to allowing Jesus to keep the commandments through us?
Yes, there are great benefits. Psalms 119 again, verse 163 to 165 says, I hate and abhor lying, but I love the law, and I love thy law. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing, that's right, David said, nothing should offend them. And even if it means you must die, remember the Bible says all good things work together for good to them that love the Lord. You see, no one can touch you unless the Lord allow it to happen. So David said, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do you have that peace today that passes all understanding? If you don't, then you're not listening to the right voice.
Are you saying that the children of God have a heavenly security system?
Yes, they do. You don't need that security. Just the other day, there were two men on the Darren Miller talk show host Immediate Response, and they were arguing the point that if we put this mechanism in place, or if we get this device or that device, there would be security for us, more than what the policeman can offer. But listen to this security that comes from heaven itself. Psalms 34, verse 4 to 9. This is the only security that you and I need today in what we live. I saw the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. They looked upon me, and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him, and saved them out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord, the Bible says, encampeth round about them that fear him, and love him, and he will deliver them. Taste and see that the Lord is good today, ladies and gentlemen, and blessed the man that trusted in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want of them that fear him. Isn't that good news? That you don't have to go down to the local store and buy the security system. Because Psalms 34, verse 4 to 9 says, The Lord's angels encamp about us as long as you fear him. There's a clause there. If you don't fear him, then you better go down there and get your security system. And guess what? My brother who died, he had all the security systems you can think of. My brother had a panic button on his keychain that if he pressed the button, it would automatically go to the alarm system, to the alarm company. My brother also had a 12-gauge shotgun in his bedroom. And today, you know my brother is today? He's right now sleeping in a graveyard on John F. Kennedy Drive. Can someone please go and wake him up, let him know that his security system didn't work? Ladies and gentlemen, the only security system we need today is Psalms 34, verse 7, that the angels of the Lord will encamp about us once we fear God and once we love him. If you don't, you're standing on dangerous grounds. Won't you seek his face today?
I see in verse 9 that David talked about his saints. Who are the saints of God? What is the Bible definition? Not some church definition now. Give me the Bible definition of a saint.
Here again, today you need to get your Bibles, because a lot of people jump in and say that they are saints and they are not. According to Revelation chapter 4, 14 verse 12, it says, here are the patience of the saints. Let's start it over again. Here are the patience of the saints, said the word of God. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Notice it carefully. It did not say have the faith in Jesus, but have the faith of Jesus, because it's the faith of Jesus that will give you and I the power to keep the commandments of Jesus. So let's read the text again. Revelation chapter 14 verse 12 says, and here are the patience of God's saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. If you're breaking any of the Ten Commandments today, ladies and gentlemen, in knowingly that you are, if you're doing it in ignorance, then the blood of Christ will cover you. But if you know for a fact what each of the commandments says in Exodus chapter 20, if you're outrightly breaking any of the commandments, you are not of God. The Bible is quite clear. There's no middle ground, ladies and gentlemen, and the time has come for us to take a sound account of where we are in its history. And Jesus calls you and I today, and our family members and friends, to keep the commandments of God and operate in the faith of Jesus Christ and nothing else.
Those who are to be determined totally and sold out to Jesus, who would be their greatest enemy?
Their greatest enemy is the devil himself. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, the Bible says, and the dragon, referring to the devil, was wroth with the woman, referring to the church, and went to make war with the remnant of the sea, those last set of people on planet earth, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Meaning that the testimony of Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation will be their guidepost. Did not Jesus say in Matthew 4:4 that man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? You know there are churches today that don't believe in the Old Testament anymore. They just believe in the New. That's not right, ladies and gentlemen. Because if that is right, that means our Savior lied. And here again, we need a new Savior once again. But he did not lie. He realized line must be upon line. And precept must be upon precept. Here a little and there a little. And if you do away with the Old Testament, how would you know where the New Testament came from? The two go hand in hand, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, there are some principles in the Old that are done away with. But we have to know where we came from so we can know exactly where we are heading. So the Bible says in Revelation 12:17, if you are keeping all the commandments, the devil hates you. And if you are guilty of breaking any, the other side to be, he loves you because he realized when the fire falls, which is prepared for him and his angels, you will also be a part of that. And God forbid, Paul Miller, if I should be found guilty of anything, it will also be prepared for me. I'm not bigger than you, ladies and gentlemen. Just like how anyone else can fall, I also can fall if I take my eyes off Jesus. And next thing I have to say, Jesus, save me, but it might be too late for me. I know better. So day by day, I cry to the Lord, say, Lord, save me. Keep me rooted and grounded in you. And don't make me think that I can stand, because the Bible says, if I brag or boast, Surely, I can fall one day.
Most people say they don't check for the law or the commandments because we are now under grace. So are the commandments or law important or not important?
Both of them are important. I think a lot of people have mistaken this text out of its context. In Romans chapter 16, verse 14 and 15, there's the only two places where these words are used together, which says we are not under the law but we are under grace. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. And this is what it says. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? For you're not under the law, but under grace. Verse 15 says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. So what is the confusion here? The Apostle Paul says, for sin should not have dominion over us. So if sin does not have dominion over us, that means we're not sinning. Don't you agree? What should we say then in verse 15? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul said, nothing doing. And the reason why we're not sinning, because we're under grace. You see the word grace? It means dynamite. Is the power for you and I to live upright lives amid all the chaos that is going on all around us. The only way you and I can keep the law if you're operating under grace. And I think about it this way. If grace was only in the New Testament and it was not in the Old Testament, when Adam and Eve sinned, what it was that kept them alive from the time they sinned until Christ forgave them? It was the grace. And if it's not grace, then you call me and let me know what you think it was. But based on the Bible, it was grace. Because the Bible says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Not men before the cross, or men after the cross, but the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Before the cross, and after the cross. It is this grace, ladies and gentlemen, that gives you and I the opportunity to live a life of sin. And it's also this grace that empowers you and I to get the victory and the deliverance away from sin.
What should be the attitude and the benefits of those who want to keep the commandments of God?
The attitude should be of that what is found in Psalms 119, verse 125 to 26. And it says, I am thy servant, give me understanding, that I may know thy testimony. It is time for thee to work, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. So David said, the requirement should be for us today as servants of God is to ask for understanding. Where should understanding come from? From the testimonies, from Genesis to Revelation. And what will happen? If we don't want to hear the testimony from Genesis, then the time will come when the law will work, because we have made void his law. And we know what the waking would be, ladies and gentlemen. We even find small bits and pieces of it happening now with tornadoes and storms and hurricanes and death of young men being shot down in the streets because they have made void the God's law. Verse 127 says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. How many of us are still buying the numbers today? Christians, I mean, chasing after the lucky number. They want to hit the big jackpot. And David said he came to the conclusion in his life that the commandments are much more greater than gold and even fine gold. But today, people don't even want, they want to wear the gold on their earrings, and they want to wear gold earrings and gold rings. And David said, man, the commandments above these gold rings, they are even better than fine gold. But today, we don't want the commandments. We want the gospel according to our opinion. What do we have? Chaos. People are running all around trying to find out what can we do. It's the answers are in the Word of God. How many times we hear ministers on the talk show, they come on the talk show without their Bible, just for Friday past. We had a minister on the talk show, and it wasn't until someone called in to confront him with some of the scriptures, and he was on the show almost 1 hour and a half. And from before the person called confronting him with the scriptures, from the beginning of the show to that 1 hour and a half had already passed, he had not quoted one scripture. It wasn't until someone confronted him with the scriptures, then scriptures started coming forward. They don't want the Bible anymore. And it's just like David said, they have made void their law, Jesus, and it's time for you to work. And he sure is going to be working in a little while. And I hope you and I find ourselves on the right side of the law and not on the wrong side of the law.
If we believe, and I'm going to go back to this grace question again. If we believe, or some churches believe, that we are living under grace, should or could we continue sinning or doing wrong?
Based on that, how I understand some of them, Brother Julian, it sounds if they truly believe that we can go on sinning because none of us can get the victory over sin. But we're in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, I remember one time I was in a youth group, a youth cell group, and they were saying that we cannot get the victory over sin. They were saying that, you have to sin sometime. So then I asked them, I said, if that is true, then why is it we have young men locked in prison? If you have to sin sometime. They just committed some sin, so why not let them out? That's not fair. If you and I can sin just sometime as Christians, and these young men don't profess Christianity, are sinning every now and again, whether it be bank robbery, whatever it might be, why don't you let them out of prison? Because they know the concept is not true. And this is where Paul answered the question if we should continue in sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. He said, what should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? What would you put at the end of that question? Would you put a yes or would you put a no? Well, in verse 2, we tell you what the answer should be. God forbid, he says. How should we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Should the Apostle Paul say, if you and I are dead to sin, then we're not going to be living in sin. If we are living in sin, that means we're not dead to sin. Think about it. Have you ever went to the funeral of a dear loved one who maybe died from drinking or drug overdose? Have you seen them take a last drink for the road? Or a last drug overdose for the road? Could they? No, they can't. They're dead. But here again, there's some ministers that will tell you that your loved one has gone on to heaven or they went to hell. But the Apostle Paul said, if we are dead to sin, we cannot be living any longer in sin. That's right. We can be dead to sin today once we allow Jesus Christ's power to fill our lives and remove our selfishness from our hearts.
So if some teacher or preacher or bishop is teaching grace without the law, tell me, Brother Paul, are they in harmony with the God's word?
No, they are not. And if your preacher or teacher is telling you this, God forbid, the time has come for you to get up and leave, you and your family. They are not preaching you the whole word of God. Don't delay. Because if you be tied to a sleeping congregation, you may become one of them. The time has come for us to follow God's word. In Romans 6, verse 22 to 23, Paul pens it this way, and that's why the devil wants you to believe that the law cannot be kept, because he realized what the end of this text says will be, this will be our gift if you don't allow the gift of God to take control. That's Romans 6, 22-23. But now, being made free from sin, we become servants of God. When do we become servants of God, according to the Apostle Paul? When we become free from sin. Ye have your fruit unto holiness, until the end of this fruit will be everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, the devil realized that if you and I continue in sin, we would experience that second death, according to Revelation chapter 20. And he know that if you and I don't allow the gift of God to empower our lives, we would receive this gift, the gift of death. But if we ask Christ to take away this sin, we will receive the gift of eternal life. The two don't go hand in hand, ladies and gentlemen. Either be on the Lord's side or be on the devil's side. Today we need to choose which side are we on. How long will we hold between two opinions? Said the prophet Elijah. If God be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Which one are you following today?
What are the blessings, Brother Paul, that are given through the scripture to those who keep the Lord's commandment?
According to Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, Bible says, blessed or happy are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates into the city. Revelation 22:14 said, all those who keep the commandments of God are happy. And because they are happy, one day they'll be even more happy still. They will be able to get into the city of the kingdom of God through being obedient to God's Ten Commandment law. But remember, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 and so on, can only be kept if you and I are truly rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ.
But Paul, we've been talking about the commandments all day to this afternoon. Let our listening audience know, where can they find the Ten Commandments, the two texts where they can find the Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments can be found in Exodus chapter 20, ladies and gentlemen, and also in the book of Deuteronomy. Exodus chapter 20, you can find the Ten Commandments and you can read them through. Remember, probably the book of Proverbs said, if we keep the commandments, we'll have long life and we'll have peace, and they'll add unto us. You can also read them in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5, the Ten Commandments. They can also be found in the New Testament. I don't have those scriptures read before, but if you go on our website, you can read the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament and the New Testament on our website. That's www.tpministries.org. Because a lot of times people believe that the Ten Commandments are only found in the Old Testament. But the Ten Commandments are also found in the New Testament if you only take the time to look for them. They are listed there 1 to 10. Not in order like how they are in Exodus chapter 20, but you can find them written in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. This is the reason why on May the 8th, we are asking you to be a part of our call-in radio show, where we'll be asking the question, are the Ten Commandments still relevant for today's society? Be a part of that show. Mark it on your calendars, May the 8th, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. We'll be 2 hours, commercial-free, taking your calls. And when we come on the air, you can have your calls ready. We'll be ready to go with whatever question you bring forth in the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O Lord, for another opportunity. Once again, we come, O God, asking forgiveness of sin. Lord, we come before thee because there's no other name under heaven where we could be saved. So we come asking in Jesus' name to help us, O Lord, to understand the importance of the commandments. Let us read them. Let us research. Let us study to see if they are true. And then give us the power and the strength to move in that direction. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, we thank you for being a part of our radio program every week. Once again, continue to pray for this ministry and those that all of us that are a part of it. Until next week, may the peace of God be with you and your family. If you care to meet us, reach us. The telephone number is 322-6273. That's 322-6273. Thank you.
And this is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.